I tell you, I just look across this group today, and God has given us, I think, the most precious friends in the entire kingdom of God. And I mean this with every heart, all heart sincerity, that friendships and relationships, if you take them lightly, one day you'll you wished you hadn't. Thank God for real friendships, real relationships that stand with us in the day of need. Praise the Lord. Well, hasn't this been rich? My gracious. My gracious. It's just been a time ordained of God. I mean, there have been sessions, and Brother Rodney, I've heard him for years. I mean, there have been sessions, it's just been like the lightnings of God. I mean, you couldn't take notes quick enough. You just keep your spirit open. God's saying things and putting little seed thoughts. I know a lot of my messages just come from a seed thought. It does come through reading and study, but I mean, God just gives me one thought, just like the don't quit, which has gone around the world in many ways. But God speaks to me that way. And we're not through yet tonight. Let's keep our faith on the line. Brother Rodney's at Daystar today talking about Washington, D.C. He asked me if that would be all right, and I said, by all means, go and get the message out. And please put this on your prayer list. This is not small potatoes. This is something that affects our nation. We've got to get this nation back, and we're in the process of doing everything all of us know to do that. Amen. I'll tell you, this man's passion, he never ceases to amaze me. I don't think I've ever met a more brilliantly anointed servant of God. I've met a lot, and I have a lot of friends that way, but I'll tell you, when this man's anointed, he is something awesome. I'd ask God what to do, and I think I know how to get started, and I want to get into it. And I hadn't been observing you this week, I'd know you couldn't handle long services. You know, there's a point in every Rodney Howard Brown service where you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to go for it, or I'm going to go to the bathroom and stay, or I'm going back to the room. Of course, if you have jet lag, hey, I've gone through that one so many times myself. There's times you're just drugged, you know, you're in a service, you've been flying and going. In fact, when I heard Brother Rodney the first time, I preached for David Chisholm, and then flew up or down to Florida from Ohio. And I mean, I was tired. But when I saw the altar calls, I woke up. Amen. I called Brother John Hall. Biggest chore I've had is to get my preacher friends into Brother Rodney's services. And once they get there, well, then they're addicted. But I called Brother John Hall, and I said, now, Brother John, I said, now, if he's receiving the offering at 10:30, that's not his message. That's midway. I said, just tell your wife you'll be home when you get there. This is not a 1 hour in and out service. Amen. I know we had one brother, and I looked at him. I said, brother, I don't remember you having a beard. He said, I didn't when I came to the service tonight. Time means nothing to a South African, I'm telling you. And I think most of us, we get too addicted to time schedules. You know, you can't put the Holy Ghost on a clock. If you have to, God will help you do it. And radio and television, you understand that type of thing. There's times we all have to honor schedules. And I've been in conferences where people just completely shut somebody else out because they just couldn't stop. Well, that's not good manners either. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And I tell you, if there's sufficient anointing, it speaks for itself. Your gift makes way. But I do want to share some things from my heart. And I'm asking all of my precious ministry friends here today that we all repent from all the lies that we've told and all the times we've said in closing. Little boy that had been in children's church quite a bit, and he came into the main service, and the preacher was preached quite a while, and said, "Now in closing," he said, "What does that mean?" She said, "Absolutely nothing, son." Oh, mercy. But when your bottom goes numb, your anointing kind of drifts a little bit there. So we trust that everything's in good shape today. All right. Turn with us in Matthew's gospel, if you will, to the 22nd chapter. By the way, you're in a new church this morning. You're in a new church. You say, "Well, you've been here for quite..." No, it's a new church. And they've got a new pastor. I hope you meet him before you leave today. His name's Bob Nichols. And I'm so thankful for the freshness of God and the touch of God. I'm back. I'm back in the saddle, praise God. We've had some physical challenges, but praise God, we're on the high side of victory. Matthew chapter 22. The Word of God said, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer," and I say that kindly because my father was a lawyer, and I'll tell you, weren't those gracious words from our attorney over these many years today? God bless him. "But one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment of the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets," or hinge all on these two commandments. There's the hinge right there. "All the law and the prophets." On my face before God a number of years ago, I was crying out to God. I said, "God, speak to me about my personal priorities with God. What is important? What's the most important thing?" And I'm sharing with you a message that I've shared around the world and in many of the churches that are here today. It's been a while since I've gotten into this, though. I'd like for you to just write it down because I believe it'll bless you. First of all, what is the most important? What's really important? You know, you live in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. It's not uncommon to see five or six guys on a stool, regardless of which Christian television station they're on. And everybody said, "Well, what do you think about this?" And then they've got this idea. And sometimes I think, why don't they all just get their Bible out and read, you know? It's like you have to have a new doctrine. Folks, it's not, please, I'm open for new insight, new revelation, but it's just like a man tried to trap me this week. He said, "Well, what about the 40 books that disappeared and were not in print?" That's got me. I said, "What are you doing about what you already know? Why don't you just take the Gospel of John? Just take the Gospel of John and read it seriously. You can evangelize the world with the Gospel of John, one gospel. And people around the world, they take one chapter torn out of a Bible and evangelize nations. And yes, we all like to hear fresh, anointed, refreshing insights from God. But what are we doing about what we already know? What are we doing about the last word we got from God? I mean, what are we doing? Which way are we going with it? And so these are basics that have kept my train on the track and kept me going. First of all, to love God more than anything or anyone. More than your ministry, more than your reputation, more than where you live or what you drive or whose publication you're in or not. You know, it's good to be in the ministry long enough. When I go, I'll just go into a service saying, the will of God be done. I used to have a sign prophesy to me, you know. Boop, boop. And we've had couples in the church, everybody that came through prophesied to them, but they never did anything about it. It's kind of a strange deal. I just go to a service saying, "Father, you speak to my heart." The strongest word you'll ever get is God talking to your spirit. And when you hear that, you write that down, you pursue that. You charge hell with a dry water pistol. Amen. When God speaks to your heart, you understand what I'm saying? Thank God for new revelation, and we all are open to new insights and so on. But I tell our staff, you know, our people don't know a lot of things that we think they know, because we need, it's a constant re-education process. Even this soul winning thing, it's amazing how many so-called born-again, spirit-filled believers just freaked out when we started going back to the highways and hedges in a stronger way. It's amazing. And I heard a guy on the radio yesterday somewhere with a Scottish voice of some kind, and he said, there's absolutely, it's rubbish that you win anybody by going out and just talking to them about Jesus. You've got to concentrate on one person and put your whole efforts on one person and make them a disciple. Well, I believe in discipleship. I believe in that. I certainly believe in that. But the Bible said go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's all of it. See, that's where we get messed up. It's all of it. It's not just my pet doctrine or my pet belief, or it's not just how to pray or how to believe, or I'm a word person, or I'm, you know, I'm heavy, whatever you want to call it. But it's doing something about what you know. The Bible said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Philip won a Ethiopian eunuch, yet he went to a city. God led him to a city. It's all of it. It's walking through the door that God opens for you. And the door that he opens for one, he may not be opening for another. I'll never forget Dr. Jack Hiles when we were trying to find out more about what to do with people when we had that great Jesus hippie move back years ago and went into busing from that. But a man stood up, and you'd be crazy to try to cross Jack Hiles if he was still alive. And he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, yes, I mean 3,000 people out there. He said, in our little church, he said, shut up and sit down. Boy, I mean, you could feel the electricity. And he sat down, and a little while, his hand went back up. This guy had more nerve. He said, but Dr. Hiles, in our little church, shut up and sit down, fella. And about the fourth time that happened, he said, let me explain. There's no such thing as a little church or a big church. It's where God sends you, and it's what God called you to do. Amen. I'd rather pastor 400 and know that a high percentage of them were born again than to have 30,000 people. And okay, you never even give altar calls, never tell people how to be born again. All right, I got to keep going, stay on track here. To love God more than anyone or anything, to love God first and best and most, it's all about Him. It's all about, at the end of the day, it's at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. The second thing that God just quickened to my heart is to know God. To know God. Daniel 11:32, but they that do know their God shall do exploits. You can know the ministry but not know God. We're raising a generation of managers, not ministers. We need some red-hot, Holy Ghost-filled men and women of God with the fire of God burning within them. Amen. To know God. Oh, Paul, if Paul could say that I might know Him after all Paul had been through, Paul the learned, Paul the 1 Corinthians 13 guy, and yet he's saying that I might know Him. It lets me know that every day is a journey to say, Lord, I want to know You better today. I want to know You better today. Job, after his famine and all the adversity that came, said, now I know. What this morning? This morning I could write another book on Now I Know. Now I know. I used to say I've experienced it all. And, of course, being a minister, I'm bumping 60 years now. 50 years as pastor, of course. But I'm going to tell you, you say, well, you ought to know. I've had young preachers say, well, you just know it all. No, I don't know it all. I'm learning every day. Everywhere I go to preach, I learn something. C.M. Ward said you can learn from a ditch digger how to dig a better ditch. He does it all the time. He can show you. He can tell you. I learn from little people, big people, loud people, quiet people, smart people. Some I question. But anyway, you can learn. I'm not going to be as dumb as that guy, I'll tell you for sure. All right, to know God. Oh, to know Him. To know Him. Oh, we August the 6th, Joe and I will be married 60 years. That doesn't seem possible. Just seemed like I met that sweet thing under that big shade tree at Bible College just a few days ago. I know her much better than I knew her that day. I know her. I think I do. It's like Dave Reaver said about the time you think you know your wife. Another surprise is coming. All right. Pray. That's what keeps our wives interesting, isn't it? All right. As long as they love you, you're okay. All right. Praise God. Third thing that I would call to your attention. These are things that God wrote to me on my face before God with a legal pad and a prayer towel and in a time when I don't even remember how much time I spent with the Lord. The carpet around me was wet as I wept in the presence of God. And that is to please God. To please God. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. I can't say always, but I'm after it. I do always those things that please the Father. You know, all of us do more than we should just to please people. I don't mean in a mean way or sinful way, but you know, you don't want to be an idiot. You don't want to be the odd one out. So we do have a certain amount of manners. But it's amazing. Do we really please God? We do. We do. And this is not, by the way, this is not legalism. This is just a checklist for you to take off for outer space. Praise God. To please God, I do always those things. Remember Enoch in Hebrews 11, 6. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh my God, that he pleased God. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as we travel somewhere, as we do it where we are, oh, that I please God. You know, I like to give this illustration. My father, being raised on a farm in Seymour, Texas, when they bought the house, the lot for the house, a little house we lived in a number of years when I was a boy, he also bought a vacant lot and had a garden on one part of it and had the meanest lot full of Bermuda grass I've ever seen in my life. Now, I don't think they'd even invented power mowers at that point. I was the power. And after a rain, when that thick grass would grow up, you just have to back off and make a run at it. You'd make about 3 inches, you know, and back up. Some of you have been there, you know. But I just remembered, Dad said, now, son, I want that lawn. I want that grass mowed when I come home today. And, of course, I'd do it for a while, and then I wanted to ride my bicycle and do all the things that kids like to do. And, you know, evening times went much better when Dad came home and that lot was mowed than when it was about a third mowed or maybe not mowed at all. I'll do it tomorrow, Dad. But you see, Father asked me to do it today. Even in the natural, things go better when we please God and when we please our earthly parents even. Another insight that God gave, and please, 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 no one take this as legalism, but take it as reality, to live clean and pure before God. I, as a kid, it's amazing what you can learn around churches, and sometimes you learn the wrong thing about what life's all about in the neighborhoods. But, you know, sin's always been there. You used to have to look for it. And then someone tell you something, you'd try to see if that was right, you know. But today, you can't even. Parents, I beg of you, I beg of you, I beg of you, I beg of you. Watch this media thing. Kids have a liberal arts pornographic education today. And I've seen homes where children were left behind closed doors for hours because it's a babysitter, you know. And they learn things, they see things. I remember one very prominent minister said, I experienced some things when I was 7 years old. I saw some photos that I try to shake off to this very day. I know God can set us free, but I'm just saying, we need to step into the lives of our children and our grandchildren and make sure that they're not watching filth and pornography. I'm not saying they're perverts, but we're all human beings. And you ignite something before the right time in the wrong way, and it can take a lifetime of garbage out of a person's life. I know this grace. Grace, my Lord God, I couldn't make it without grace. You're not going to make it without grace. So I'm settled on that. I mean, to me, amazing grace is just... But this thing's out of hand. We're going to have to get back and be called holiness, purity, abstinence. We're going to have to get back to basics in our churches and with our young people and with our own families. I know I've seen an extreme. You can't name one thing I haven't seen an extreme of in all my life, because I've been raised in and around churches. But I'm telling you, we need to get the cycle back in and be sure that purity and holiness, when you have a choice of overseeing what happens, don't just turn your children loose. Don't just say there's nothing you can do about it. Teach them, love them, pray for them, lay hands on them. I'm talking about seriously. Pray for them. Anoint them with oil. Dear God, there wasn't a thing in my room that hadn't been anointed with oil. I tell you, I don't know what all my mama did when I left to go out and play during the daytime, but my room smelled like olive oil when I got back in. And today we just turn them loose. Long as they're not rocking the boat for us and causing problem. But to live clean and pure, and the problem is that we're all ex-kids, and then we grow up to be big kids, and then the beat goes on if we don't get a grip on this thing. I've seen, you've seen, we've all seen some strong men of God. I could call names, but I will not. These things found an inroad into their life. And it's not that God doesn't forgive. Sure, God forgives. It's the lost time. It's the downtime. Sure, God forgives. Dear Lord, thank God he forgives. But I'm just deeper than I can get out of it. But I'm just putting some things out there that I don't think I know. I know. And I believe the Spirit of God said we need to tell our people they need to leave. To lead clean lives, clean hands and a pure heart. Psalms 24. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Not just to preach. I love to drive good. I love to live good. I love to eat good. I mean, I have no problem with prosperity. What I mean, it's not a problem with me. But, oh, we need to teach our people they need to live pure and clean. And watch over your, not only your children, they're up and gone. Pray over your grandchildren. And the thing that I see happening, and God's just going to have to, he is and will direct me. And I'm not going to promise you a close, though I will one of these moments here after a while. But there's a dumbing down that is going on in our churches. My church, your church, there's a dumbing down. Very few times do you see the children more fervent than the parents, because we always feel sorry for the little darlings, and we don't want them to go through, be deprived of what we didn't have growing up, because our parents were kind of square, you know, that time. But we're dumbing down, and the problem is we've got to get back to the DNA. Either we are born again, and the only way you can get born again is someone tell you how to be born, unless you read it into you. You know, and churches don't give altar calls. Churches, you say, what if nobody comes? Well, praise God. I tell our staff, your job doesn't depend on someone walking that aisle. But when it's time for an altar call, give a thorough altar call. And it's amazing on this pulpit here. There are evangelists that can't read. On my pulpit, it says, please give a complete altar. You guys up here, you see what I'm talking about. But if you don't tell people how to be born again, you never give an altar call. It's never a serious thing. And you wait until everybody's running out for chicken dinner on Sunday morning to try to give some kind of a little spiritual whatever. We've got to get back to the fact that our people must be born again. And what about spirit-filled? I mean, high percentage of even professing word people now don't speak with other tongues. And signs and wonders and miracles. We're dumbing down. We're dumbing. By the grace of God, we're not going to do it in this house. And we all have to work on that, but we can't let our churches be dumbed down. There's Baptists that are stronger than, quote, Pentecostals nowadays. A few. Amen. We got to keep the fire burning. I love fireplaces. My dad was a fireplace builder. But you know, a fire is not going to go by itself. You've got to keep adding logs to the fire. Got to keep it takes three logs to build a good fire, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You get a good fire going, you don't walk off and come back 2 or 3 hours later and you have a hot fire going. Brother Keith, you know that. I love your fires up there in Canada of necessity. Amen. So we've got to keep the fire burning and encourage the full gospel, the full gospel, the full gospel. I mean, we're so thrilled if they're going to church anywhere, it doesn't make a difference what they believe. We need to just teach people where they ought to go to church. Amen. Praise God. To obey God. Dr. Cho said, I pray and I obey. It's better to obey than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. Another message within itself. Another message within itself. There's three other things that I want to share with you today, and I'm headed for somewhere that I feel is very significant. And that is to refuse to receive any spirit of offense. The Bible's full of it. The Bible's full of warnings. It's impossible but that offenses will come. I've had more opportunities to forgive in the last 2 or 3 years than at any other time. No, really, in my life or ministry. But I believe what I preach. If we're not willing to forgive others, if we're not willing to forgive others, then we're in trouble. I mean, that's very plain in the Word of God. And, you know, a spirit of offense is the legal drug of charismatics. That's not a street drug. That's a legal. You know, you can go to the pharmacy and you have a reason. And I have a good reason why I'm offended. I have a good reason why I'd like to kill you if I could not go to hell. You know, I have a good reason why I'd like to teach you something. And it's hard. I have faced the most challenging opportunities to forgive the last 2 or 3 years of my entire ministry. Because there's a lot of people, they don't know they put a dagger in your back, but when they put the dagger in your back and twist it, then you get the idea somebody's up to something here, you know. But we must do that. It's the only way to do it. And then to pray for them. Boy, you add insult to injury there. Not only do we forgive, are we all on tune, in tune today? All right, I hear you. And to refuse any spirit of offense. If anyone could have been offended, Joseph could have been offended. And a lot of others. Amen. And then there's another one that is so important. That is to do and to finish all that God has called me to do. This drives me in a righteous way. I want to do and I want to finish what God's called me to do and finish. Starting is good, but finishing is the ultimate. Finishing is the ultimate. How many times you'd like to run, disappear, you know, whatever. Life got to be better than this today or this hour or this week. But Jesus said that I might do and finish. In John 4, he brought that out. I want to do and finish what the Father has called me to do and to finish. God's not through with me yet. God's not through with me. And there's only one thing I fear more or have a concern over more than my frustration at the moment, and that is to be out of the will of God. Because in the will of God, no matter how frustrating it is, there is grace. There's grace. God will help you to handle. I haven't seen it all or heard it all, but I'm getting a little closer to the top of the list. We've been through a few things. Been through a few county fairs and a few goat ropings over the years. And times when You know, I often say there's a little box inside of us. If you could take that box out of us, we're all out of business. It's that something that makes you wake up in the morning and go after it one more time. One more prayer meeting. But I'm not gonna drive out of town Sunday. I'm going to go to that pulpit. And we're going to praise God. And we're going to sing. And we're going to preach the best we can. We're going to meet God. And we're going to lead others to meet God. We don't all feel like what we do every time we do it. In fact, I'll be very honest with you, especially in flying great distances away, it's very seldom I've gotten on an airplane the little voice and said, where do you think you're going? What's going to happen when you get there? What are you going to tell them? As many times as you've told it. Yet when I get there, the Holy Ghost got there before I got there. And he was with me on the way there. And somehow it all works. It all works. When you go where God wants you to go. Years ago, I wished everything in my life could be that on target. When Bob Tilton invited me to teach in his school for about 2.5 years in Dallas. And we were about to lose this property over here. Of course, we couldn't find anybody to finance it. And thank God, God worked it all out. But man, I was under pressure I didn't know you could be under at that time. I look back now and it was a cakewalk compared to some of the things I've faced since then. But Lord God, in my faithfulness there, God gave us a Bible college here in our place. Amen. And then I didn't realize they were bicycling those videos all over the world. And then I started getting invitation from Vancouver. That's how we got up to Canada and then to UK. And we went there several times. And to Australia, New Zealand. And I remember the first long trip we took to Perth, Australia. I was so green, I didn't have a passport. Got the passport through the mail 1 or 2 days before I was supposed to leave. Perth is a long way from Fort Worth. If you've never been there, let me inform you. And someone said, you're going to fly first class. Well, first of all, didn't have the money to do it. Didn't have the money for business class. So I was at the back of the bus. I flew back of the bus straight through. I got a day room for an hour and a half or 2 hours in Hawaii. And then, I mean, when I landed in Perth, Australia, my clock was so tweaked. I think I was tweaking like a bird, you know. I was just out of it. I was goofy, you know. I didn't realize you don't do that. You don't fly that far unless you're, anyway. But, you know, when we got there, I didn't realize I was the first outside speaker they'd had in Perth and for their Bible college. When I walked in and they had a brass band going, they had a little room, about 500 people. It was rocking. My Lord, it was rocking. And they were singing the same songs we were singing in Texas. And those people, they knew me, but I didn't know them. And I walked in, and they were just so thrilled that Bob Nichols was there, and I was amazed I was there. And I'm telling you, every word I said, Brother Don, you know what I'm talking about, that anointing when it flows, you know, Brother Jerry, every word just seemed like it was a flame of fire. God used it. And supernatural things happened, and we went back several times after that. But I wished every day of my life could be in the right place at the right time like I sensed on that occasion. And we've all had those experiences. I trust you have. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, just to be where God wants you to be. Just to be where God wants you to be. And out of that, God did some very supernatural things. But I want to do and I want to finish. Now listen, to do and to finish, it's both are very important. Both are very important. Now, here's one that I really want. I'm getting close, maybe. I'm not, no promises. And that is to let no one, nothing, steal our faith in God. 1 Timothy 1:19 said those that they'd lost their faith, they made shipwreck. I am a faith man. I desire to be a faith man from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Someone said, are you a faith man? You might be right. I am. There's no other way to go. It's the way I got saved, the way I got filled, the way I've been healed, the way God's met the needs, the way God's seen us through every kind of almost every kind of conceivable thing. But I want to just throw something out because I know I'm with Hearts That Care this morning. Really, the last 2 or 3 years of my life in ministry have been the most trying in 50 years of ministry. Been the most trying. And all we've ever tried to do is love and care and buy people cars and help them do their thing and help people and love people and put a set of tires here. Don't lose your house here. Here's a payment, you know. Don't do that. And we've flown how many times to churches that were in dire need and brought a check with us. Didn't go for a check. We brought a check. And then with Brother Dale, I God told me, he said, you'd been abused on the field. You'd really been abused. And we won't go into that detail. I mean, financially. And God said, bless him. Get him stabilized financially. And since that time, you're to God be the glory. But we made sure for a given period of time that things were right with you. And you drove a better car than you've driven, had driven up to that time. And God helped you and you bought a house and things happened. Thank you for being grateful for that. To God and to the people that help supply that type of thing. But the thing that I want to say, I knew that God was not through with me. I knew that God was not through with me. And I've never even toyed with that thought, but I've had to face that in the last 18 months. I've had four procedures in my body. I'm okay. But one thing led to another. It was crazy. I'm not a hospital person. I'm not a doctor person. But, and then you do that, and then that affects your plumbing, and that affects your urinary tract. And, you know, everything you do affects your body. Surgery affects your entire body. At least it did mine. And it'll affect you emotionally, too. And my body is back on track now. But there's a time I really was not comfortable to sit in a service for a given period of time. I've had to go through that time. And in the midst of physical challenges, you know, I just want to throw it out because I've gone to conferences that put me back on my feet again. I love that verse in Job that said, your words have put men back on their feet again. I don't want my words to knock you off your feet. I'm not talking about being in the spirit, but I want words that'll put you back on your feet. Put a song back in your heart. Strengthen your marriage. Get you back into the ministry. You know, I look back, everything God's ever done, every breakthrough, this piece of problem, everything we've ever done, I just didn't know it couldn't be done. I just didn't know it. Who was it that said the first thing they'd do is buy a dictionary and tear failure out? Tear quit out. I just didn't know it couldn't be done. When God said start a church in a post office building, I never started a church before. I had no money, no people, nothing. I look back now, and the Baptist banker, he said the worst investment in the world is to try to loan money to a man starting in a church. But something tells me you're going to make it and you're going to be good. From a Baptist banker, God love his heart. We went downtown. I look back now. It scares me. I see some of the things I've done over a period of time. No wonder it scared some other people, too. You go from a $40,000 post office building, and then God gives you two city blocks. Well, you and God negotiate together on that. And then you go downtown from a 200-seat chapel to a 2,000-seat auditorium and a landmark piece of property. In fact, the architects, when they built Pier 1, exactly where our church was downtown, they said it was the most prime 15 acres in all of downtown Fort Worth, and we were sitting on it. We were sitting on it. God's been good to this church. But I knew somewhere, I'll never forget, that I was in contact with Fred Price, who ministered for us a number of times, Marilyn Hickey. We all needed $1.5 million, and we'd call each other every week. Well, did you find out where the, you know, everybody's got promises of this and promises of that. Then it goes Christmas time and everything goes dead, you know. But thank God we got our $1.5 million. Fred Price got his $1.5 million. Marilyn got her $1.5 million. And we saw God do the work. We saw God do the work. But I just didn't know it couldn't be done. Never forget flying that airplane out to Kalispell. Kalispell, what is it, Montana? Yeah, the plane turns around. That's the end of everything right there. Yeah. And then we met the broker there, and then she charged some mixed drinks to my American Express card in the hope of, I said, oh, God, wait till this gets back to the office, you know. I mean, I didn't do that on purpose. It just came with a meal, and gee, we didn't get the loan either. So anyway, but I mean, I said somewhere, some way, somehow, God has a deal for us. I knew it. Bankers said, you're crazy. I had half my board members walked out on one occasion. Then I found out you better have people with you that believe in you. One thing Robert Shuler said, don't give the wrong person the ability to strike out your vision. Don't put them in a position where they can put you out of business. Amen. Praise God. But God brought us through. God brought us through. 15, you know, some of you have heard the story. You know what keeps me going? I reverently say it. There's not a miracle in this book to me that is much greater than the miracle of Calvary Cathedral International, because God has done it. Faith in God has brought it to pass. It could not be done. Everybody said it would not be done, couldn't be done. And then the tornado strikes and we're out of business. We're out of business. Nowhere to go. Everything was gone in 44 seconds. But something in my spirit, it rose up as with Job. God will give us twice as much. Then we got here and we've been here. And then we walked through a time of disloyalty. I'm a loyal person. R.V. Nichols raised his kids to be loyal, raised me to be loyal anyway. And I'll tell you what, you've done me a favor. You're my friend for life. I may not agree with everything you do, but I love you. I mean, we live in a generation that just grab it and go on down the road. But I mean, disloyalty that I did not know existed. I've got some of the most loyal people on the face of God's earth are around me now and in this church. But there were people, if I went to this church and told, I didn't tell a lie, but if I told the whole truth, people wouldn't believe some of the things that I've had to go through. I've had people talk to me like a cur dog. I'd deck them if I knew it was not to the detriment of the whole ministry and we'd probably get in a lawsuit over it. No, I've had lies and never thank God about morals. We've always handled money correctly and thank God God's kept us morally. But it, and I mean there were times it was just going to take it all out of you. Take it all out of you. But then I'd go back to Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. And that's what I want to leave it on the word here this morning. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know which way to go, when you don't know what move to make, thank God for God Almighty and His word that will not return void. You can either cave into your feelings. I mean, there are people still around here. There's some, they don't have a clue. Don't have a clue of what's happened behind the scenes. Don't have a clue. And I've got witnesses. I've got well documented. If I wanted to go that way, I could go that way. But it would hurt the sheep. It would hurt the work. And so I've taken the bullet myself. I've just taken the bullet myself. Just hush and go on down the road. But you know what? My Bible tells me that my God supplies all of my need. Hallelujah. And there's only one reason I say that. I don't need any sympathy. Praise God. I don't need sympathy. But I want to look at Isaiah 41. And I am getting close to winding some things up here. But when you don't understand and when there's not a hole in the clouds, I tell you, Isaiah 41 has been an Old Testament pastor to me. Fear thou not. Bob, don't be afraid. I am with thee. Hallelujah. There's 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. There's always someone in your camp and around you that is for you 1,000%. For I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll hold you up. How can you go under when He's holding you up? Now, I'm just going to read this. God wrote the script. I'm just reading Isaiah 41:10, and it happens to be King James, but I trust yours is as strong as mine is here. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed. And confounded, they shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. That makes me pray for my enemies. Praise God. Said, you'll seek them and shall not find them. You'll even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Just got to be sure your heart's right. Just got to be sure your heart's right. And then let the naysayers do what they do. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. And verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Now let me tell you something. Jacob became one of the big three of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And if God will do business with Jacob, he'll take care of us. Jacob's a case. He was a case back there. Now, but notice this. Here's where I'm dwelling in verse 15. Behold, Bob, it's not what you've been through, it's where you're going. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Hallelujah. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and make them the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and they shall rejoice in the Lord and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. And then when the poor and needy, and then the Lord will hear them. I'll open rivers in high places. I'll plant in the wilderness, verse 19. I will set in the desert, verse 19. And verse 20, I'm living on this verse, that they, and they came to Jehoshaphat saying, major kings are coming against you. You've had it, Jehoshaphat. Well, that they, whoever they are, may see. They will see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Now, there's a number of people in this room today that I've spent time with you or your church. Looked like the whole thing was against you. Looked like it was going down financially. You had people. I could tell some more stories that you'd laugh and then you'd cry too. But after helping everybody else, I needed help myself. I needed help myself. I didn't need sympathy. I needed faith help. I needed faith help. And I want to thank God. There are people, ministers in this room today that called, and I couldn't tell you what phone calls meant. Pastor, we're standing with you. We're praying with you. We're praying with you. We're praying with you. I tell you, I thank God for faith, friends, and relationships. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for faith, friends, and relationships. Amen. I really am a nice guy. Any mistake I've made is it's of the head, not the heart. That's for sure. But you know, there comes a time when you need help yourself. If you've sown seed, God will bring that seed back in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Don, serving with us, serving on our board. You've seen a lot of things, and God's brought us through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Keith. Thank you. Man, I've been in this guy traveling 90 miles an hour down a gravel road. They kill skunks and throw them up on your skylight, the sweet people in your church at that time. Amen. But God brought you through, brought you out on the high side of victory. Oh, Brother Odell, I tell you, I look at you, and I don't know if I could handle what you've come through, brother. You're a faith champion. You really are, Odell. I know you quite well. I've been with you, and you didn't quit. We had that memorial service for your wife, and you had a lot of things against you, but I want to tell you, God's not through with you yet, brother. You come into this house, we're not going to discourage you. We're going to encourage you. You're a man of God, and we love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Brother Dale, for calling us and having those prayer meetings. Oh, I'm in trouble. I shouldn't have even started to call names, but I do want to say thank you to Charlie and Lori. They have stood with us. They've never blinked. That's pretty good for Episcopalian background. Never blinked. Never blinked. First time I had to handle one of the roughest situations I've ever handled in my life, when I had to fire some family, and it was hard. It was tough. There was nowhere to turn, and this couple was hardly in the church. I wouldn't advise you to do that unless God told you. One night after Sunday night, I said, I need to talk to you. We went down to Old Texas Hotel, told them the story, and they just prayed with me, didn't blink. I thought, my Lord, here these people are just brand new in the things of God. Now, that wasn't the wisest move if God hadn't been in it. But this man has never blinked when the pressure was on. Never blinked when the pressure was on. Amen. Never blinked. And Lord, thank you. And the beat goes on to so many. Dr. Stumbo and his wife here. The thing that I want to say, there came a time in the last 18 months, every bone in my body said quit. I mean, circumstances said quit. Unkindness said quit. And this wasn't the whole church. That, you know, all it takes is one skunk in a neighborhood. I went out to get my paper yesterday morning and the whole neighborhood smelled like skunk. It just takes one. It just takes one. You don't have to have a flock or a herd or whatever skunks are. And all the rest of the people love you, man. They'd give their life for you. But Satan will just center your attention on one thing. Hallelujah. But I want to say to every one of you, if you're doing what God called you to do, don't quit. If you're doing what God called you to do. I've had minister friends. They change churches every 2 or 3 years. And the problem is they take them with them wherever they go. And whoever they were having trouble with has relatives in that other church where they're going now. So here the beat goes on. You might as well just whip the devils where you are and go forward for God. If that's what God wants you to do. There is a time to change. There's a time to move. There's a time to retire, I guess. I mean, I can't find an exit, but no, really, really. I'm not being critical of anyone. If you're doing what you know God called you to do, then be at peace with that. But I'm not going to let Satan run me out of my pea patch. I'm not going to let Satan run me. I'm not going to do it. Look what God has done in this meantime. And do you know that almost every one of them were highly critical of winning souls? What's wrong with winning souls? Well, how do you know all those people are saved? Well, how do I know you're saved? Dear God, I can't guarantee salvation. And I believe in discipleship and I believe in winning. I mean, there's a balance I know in all of this, but there is no balance in doing nothing. And I'd rather stand before God and know that there's 64,000-65,000 people that will never be able to say in that final day, no one ever told me about Jesus. No one ever gave me the plan of salvation. My God, you mean I'm going to hell? Oh no, surely not. Than to be in a church that never gives altar calls, never wins people to Jesus, that whatever will be if it never is. And I'm telling you, this Calvinistic thing has become epidemic style. And my God, have mercy. I've heard preachers on the radio say, God creates people to send them to hell. How crazy can you get and put a doctorate in front of your name? Seminaries just wax eloquent. And then they really wax eloquent on the suffering thing. Yes, my daughter hasn't had her miracle yet, but my God is a healer. No, we haven't had the ultimate miracle yet, but I'm not going to quit. I'll go up in the rapture saying I believed God to the last moment I had breath in my body. And whenever my time comes to step aside, I'm going to have someone that will honor me and love me and respect me in my own house. Thank you. We've spent 50 years. I deserve at least that much. And I'll do everything within my power to lift up the hands of anyone else that takes the reins of it. Amen. But if you're doing what God calls you to do, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You know, Brother Tom, you've said it yourself in preaching. You know, how many years were you here on staff? 10. Some of that time I could have killed you and some of that time you could have killed me. No, Brother Tom, no. Okay, Pastor, okay. And you know the problem in most church problems? You're not their pastor. And Absalom had claimed the pastorship. It's not going to work around here unless I'm pastor. You can attend and you can have all the blessings you want to have, but the full blessings of the house only come if I'm your pastor. My gift doesn't work unless it's received. Not because I'm perfect, certainly not because you're not perfect either, but together we can see this thing go. We can see it go. Praise God. But I guess that's what I'm trying to just bring together. You know, you one end of the house, you've got a daughter that needs a miracle. I've asked God for extended, anointed, good life. I mean, to do something. I don't want to just hang out to be hanging out. One end of the house, I've got a miracle that we're still waiting on. My precious wife has come under attack the last year and a half. So the most precious women of God I've ever known in my life outside of my own mother. I had a precious mother and a precious wife. And then you have some physical problems. And then on top of that, you have people say, well, you know, he's not preaching as good as he used to preach. Well, I guess not. You deal with the demons of hell trying to keep the doors open. Give us a break. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. But I am swinging the bat from the left and swinging it from the right. I haven't quit. I still believe God. News reporter came in the other day. He said, boy, this place is really a miracle. He said, I didn't realize I was involved here. You know, you're doing something right. You start with a $40,000 post office building. You wind up with several million dollars worth of property paid for. I mean, and we don't know anything about managing a church. We don't know how to do things right. Every penny that comes into this house is handled by CPAs and double counted and attorneys. I don't even know the combination of the safe. I never have known the combination of the safe. I'll take a check and take it to the office. Amen. And sometimes someone gives us something, but I'm talking about we run this thing as right as you can run. And any quality ministry is run just about like this church is run. You don't need to know how many pencils and how many erasers were bought this last week. That's not souls. Amen. Let's talk about souls. Let's talk about souls. And in the meantime, God has raised up the soul winner's fire in the hearts of this people. If you're doing what God called you to do, Brother Bill, I tell you, I respect you and Heather. Oh, you guys have been a blessing there. My gracious. And I know that we've been there when been some crazy stuff. But praise God, we win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dr. Stumbo, one time and half the board walked out years ago. He said, well, Pastor, he said, God's never failed us. God's not going to fail us now. And he didn't. We love you, Barney and Bess. Thank God for you. We love you and appreciate you. But what I'm saying this morning is no sad story. I don't need any sympathy. I'm back in the saddle. I'm back on top. But it has been a challenging time. And you know, once people in a church drink the Kool-Aid that something's bad wrong around here, and I can't tell you, they won't tell you. Or they come to you and say, we're here with you. The end next week they leave. People lie. People lie. People lie. People lie. I'd rather you just sock me in the jaw and say, I don't like you. I said, okay, here we go again. Let me show you the fivefold ministry. No, just tell me the truth. You don't like me? Tell me you don't like me. Let's go off and leave Facebook alone and leave people alone and go mind your own business. Go where it's perfect and enjoy it. Enjoy. Don't try to rock the boat on something you've been giving to and praying for and giving your life for, and something that's educated your children and blessed you and helped you and in your hard times has been there when no one else was there. And then you go off and say it's all wrong. We've all been there. We've all been there if you're in this long enough. But you know what? It's kind of like the book of Revelation. The biggest thing you need to know about the book of Revelation is we win. The book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. It's about the real Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son. Oh, glory to God. We struck a chord on that one. We may have a little difference of opinion about some of the things happening in Revelation. But remember, the end of the book is we win. Well, I'm just another Job. We'll get ready for twice as much. And I'm going to tell you, coming out of this tornado, 22 years, we did not have a gym. We didn't even have a school. It was all in our educational annex. And we came out of it. Thank God we have a school paid for next door. We have two gyms now, not one, but two. So I just want to encourage you. If anything I've said has discouraged you, God forgive me and God help you to understand where my heart's coming from. But when you don't know what to do, just do the right thing. Just hold steady. Just hold steady. Get in your car, get a praise tape, fill your tank up with gas, and just run it until you have to fill it up again and head back home. And just pray in the Spirit and thank God that some way, somehow, God's never failed me and God's not going to fail me now. God's going to see me through. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. Well, there's times I wish my mother was still alive. Turn her loose on them in intercession, man. Yeah, but she's gone to heaven now. There she's gone. I'm it. You're it. I look at all these great men and women of God that have passed away. Hey, whether we like it or not, we're it. We're the legends now. We're the ones. So let's go for it, troops. Don't quit. Don't even think about it. When you think about it, I look at couples like the Clowers here. Dear God, this man's, he preaches about A.A. Allen, but this man's had a ministry just like A.A. Allen. This couple is highly anointed. I love to just get around Brother Don, just stir him up a little bit. Praise God. I love you guys. You guys are champions. We need people like you. And I look at Brother Jerry Garcia. If you could sell the anointing, brother, you'd be a trillionaire. If you could sell that anointing, you'd be a trillionaire. I've never heard you strike out yet. I don't know how you do it. Lay hands on me before you get out of here. No, but God's hand is on you. Yet, you guys know what it is for your faith to be tested. All of you do. Brother Dave Chisholm, you know what it is. We used to sing a song, I'm going through, I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with God's chosen few, I'm going through Jesus, I'm going through. And you know, one final thought here, just a thought. If a church is halfway what it ought to be, this place, let's say someone dies. Man, everybody here, we love them, we plant food for them, we encourage them. We've arranged funerals for people that had no money for funerals. I mean, you know all the stuff you do. I mean, here are these little helpless people, their whole life is falling at their feet, and here's the church that rises and said, every resource we have at Calvary is yours. Doesn't make any difference what the color of your skin is. Had one funeral director, he said, I've never seen a church step up to the plate like you guys do. And yet one little thing goes wrong, and the whole church is wrong. Church has saved your marriage, saved your kids, helped you have a better car, kept your house from being repossessed, you know, stood with you, loved you, looked over the fence and got with the wrong person. And we helped bring healing back, get your marriage back together. And all of a sudden, the church is nothing. I'm going to tell you something. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. You don't do wrong to someone that's done you right. You don't do wrong to someone who's done you right. Loyalty goes a long way. I'm not talking about brown nosing. I'm just talking about just loving people. Love one another. We need one another. Father, I just want to thank you today. Have I been halfway effective at just saying, if you're doing what God called you to do, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. You may have made the biggest mess in the world, but God loves, God forgives, His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. You can come up here if you want to, Becky. Were you headed up here? I thought I saw you headed up here. Yeah, praise God. What a blessing these folks have been. But I want to just release a spirit of courage and encouragement. And I tell you what I want to do if anyone needs it. There's no way to describe the valley that we've been through the last year and a half, but I'm out of it, and I'm on top of it, and I'm back in the saddle again. Praise God. And I want to encourage everyone in this house this morning. You say, well, you shouldn't mention any of those things. Well, I hardly ever do, but in a crowd like this, I wished I'd heard someone like me a few years ago. I wished I'd heard someone tell me when I thought it was all over and I felt like I'd failed. Downtown when we had that 8 acres and had to sell it to keep the loan on the other property. And I walked that, tore up a pair of dress pants and trousers. I said, I failed the church. We had to give that 8 acres back. But in the deal came parking. 13 years, they gave us a parking, lighted parking lot we couldn't afford. And then when it came time to sell the property, that 8 acres that we sold for, what was it, $650,000, $850,000, was part of the deal of several million dollars that would not have been possible. Hallelujah. Because the loan company came back and said, you know that property that used to be yours, that's been a Jonah ever since we've had it in our portfolio. The government said sell it. And we bought it back for $100,000, although it was $7 million cross collateralized. 13 years they paid the taxes. They gave us a lighted parking lot. Marriott tried to buy it. All kinds of Hyatt tried to buy it. You know, all these places tried to buy it. And they said, we can't sell it. No one wants to go to bed with the church next door. You know, no one will buy that property. They make us an offer. $7 million against that property. And I said, we'll give you $100,000 and close anytime you want to close. They closed their briefcase, you know, the old business thing. Said, don't call us. We'll call you 3 weeks later. They said, we're ready to do business if you want to do business. But it was that piece of property that made the whole piece of property to be as valuable as it was. And you know, I thought I'd failed. Oh God, I went through agony over that. I said, God, I failed the church. Where did I miss it? So God let somebody else warehouse it for 13 years, gave it back to us at a very reduced price. Restoration. Restoration. I hear it in the air. To restore is more than before.
Yes.
It's not over unless you say it's over. It's not over unless you believe it's over. It's not over unless you give up, unless you quit. It's not over. Hallelujah. Oh, Rebakari Kiyashaya. Hallelujah. It's not over unless you quit. That's all I have to say to the devil. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. Well, how do I get out of this? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'd be glad to pray for you if anyone not too hungry right now. Sheila Barra. I haven't just been popping off this morning. I've just tried to speak from the depth of my heart. There's a spirit of don't quit in this room today.
Come on. My wife is a PK. She's a preacher's kid. I was a BK. I was a bartender's kid. And I remember as a little kid walking down from Dad's restaurant and everyone was crying. Why was everyone crying? At Ben Franklin, at the TV shop. President Kennedy was just shot. I love America. Ever since I've been a little kid, I've worn flags and everything I can. And through the years, if you put that up there, brother, through the years, I've had the pleasure, the last 40 years, and when Jesus appeared to me in 1978, it changed my life. He says, I've called you to preach, and I've called you to play drums for me, to be exclusive for him. And so what we did is that we've been doing that through the years, and you've watched us through the years, and the drums have sort of grown. But as everyone was saying something about Pastor Nichols, and everyone was giving something to Pastor Nichols, I would have tears come out the side of my eyes. And I said, Lord, I'd like to give this man something. I remember when I left to drive down here from New York with Ronnie, I went and I took something off the wall. I wanted to bring the very last thing, and I left it in the house. I got in the car, and my son Michael says, do you want this, Dad? It was in a big envelope. Oh, I said, yes, son, yes, I do want that. Thank you. I didn't know why I wanted that, but I just wanted that. And as I was sitting here, if you put that up there for me there, brother, back there, put the other picture on there. We tripled our world record. And this is not about me. This is about the man who stood by us and has given me encouragement. I buried both my mom and dad the last few years, and I took care of them the 6 worst years of their life. Did their launching pad services. But it was in 78 when I was Pastor Bob Tilton's drummer that I used to sneak over and listen to this man talk, and Pastor Don Clowers. I heard of many things about faith. I remember him saying, the strength of your anointing is in doing what God has called you to do. That changed my life as a young Christian. And don't get off the slow horse till you find a faster one. I remember those two. So what I would like to do, if I could, and I do this humbly, I don't do it out of any bragging. I did this for him. I built it all the years for the Lord. And if I could, Pastor Nichols, if you would allow me, sir, I would like to give you my new Guinness World Record. It would mean so much to me, sir, for you to receive it. It's in a custom frame they just sent me. I have a little note on the back for thanking and believing in us. And I just want to do something to say thank you. It says officially amazing. Oh, no, you are officially amazing, sir. So, bless you, sir. Thank you for believing of us, in us, taking care of us with your faith and with your love, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
We love you. Love all of you. I love this crowd. I love this crowd. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Would you just pray in the Spirit with me? I trust that everyone understood the spirit of anything I said. I'm not bragging on me. I, honest to God, if I had not had faith in God, not had a family that needed me and a church that I felt needed me, I said, Lord, if this is it, just take me home. But God said, I'm not through with you yet. I'm not through. It's a work yet to be done. Satan's done everything in the world to try to soil this 50th anniversary, but he's a liar, because it's not about Bob and Joy Nichols. It's about the faithfulness of Almighty God. As God has been faithful to us, God will be faithful to you. Oh, Yapa. I'm going to move a little quicker, but this is one of our sons in the ministry. Now, pastor, literally over 4 churches, serving as bishop over 4 churches. Ohio, Parkersburg, West Virginia, Columbus, Ohio. You know, there's Jackson, I believe, isn't it? Yeah. Jackson, one of our Bible college graduates here. In the name of Jesus. Would you hold your hand out, Brother David, brother-in-law? These are precious men of God. I'll tell you, these guys are fearless. They are absolutely fearless. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, not minimizing anything that has been done, but the best is yet to come. Nina makarabuku rakada, nina mayango derabuku, vorabakashi koto rekashi, deha, nina morakato raka. More signs, more wonders, more miracles. Durababaraka, more healings. Oh, yakataya. Oh, Shika Belaba. Yeah, upon you, your church, your wife. Oh, dear Bakata. I tell you, Odell, I'd ride into San Antonio on a horse. He tried to quit right now. I don't know what good that would do, but I'd be there. God, I want to thank you for this man. Lord, I've been with him. I've been with him in church trouble. I've been with him in when his relatives turned against him. I've been with him when his wife passed away. We're there. God, I want to thank you for a man that won't quit. One of these days, brother, God's, you're going to be astounded at the rewards that God has for you. Don't quit. Don't quit. In Jesus' name. The fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. Just be encouraged, brother. Be encouraged. Just never look at the young children in your church without seeing value. Precious man of God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Johnson family. Thank you, Lord, for the Johnson family. Oh, God. Thank you for this man of God. It has affected America and Canada. I send forth not only a fresh oil anointing to you, my dear brother, to Tracy, but to your sons, to your family, your daughters. Oh, God, every lesson that needs to be learned, every correction that needs to be made through children, our families all need some. I just thank you for the highest and the most perfect will of God. Oh, Tracy, from your prayer closet, there's a fire, there's a power, there's a river. Oh, don't go below, but rise above. Rise above all you see in the ministry. Rise above it. Rise above it. More, 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 more. Oh, a voice that is more. An anointing that is more. Supernatural strength in Jean's body. Supernatural strength in her mind, her body, her spirit. Oh, God. Oh,
Lord,
I'm thirsty. Oh, supernatural, supernatural. Jesus is Lord over Romania. Jesus is Lord over a million. Fire of God be upon you. Oh, I didn't call your name, but I'm proud of you, Rufus. I'm proud of you. You're deep. Thank you for being loyal, precious friends. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.